So there's something that I have learned over the past few years, and it's this. There are two different types of tired. There's a good tired, and that's the kind that you feel, let's say, after a good workout, or maybe even a really good day's work. What's so funny about life is I can remember as a kid, we kind of grew up on a farm out in the country, and we used to have to do a lot of chores outside. In the summer, it was gardens. In the fall, it was cutting wood for our fireplace, cutting the grass, whatever it was. And I used to hate that kind of stuff. But now that I'm grown, I have kids of my own, I love it. What are the odds, right? And so there's nothing better than having a great day's work outside, getting everything accomplished. And when you sit down in your comfy chair at night, just feeling that sense of accomplishment. What a good tired that is. But there's another kind of tired. And I think that's the one that a lot of us right now are experiencing. It's being so tired emotionally, you just don't think you can really care anymore. You know, it's being so worried all the time that you're just literally, physically, mentally exhausted. You know, I think we're all a little just tired politically. Just always hearing nothing but bad news, this against that, me against you, them against us. Everybody seems against everybody. I think there's even a social media tired where you're just so sick of seeing everybody else or their problems and their bragging. There's just a tired that isn't good. And that tired is actually called weary. Being weary. And this Christmas, I want to talk about being weary because I think we're all just a little bit weary. And that often flies in the face of what we think Christmas is supposed to be, because if we think back, Christmases past were full of excitement and joy and wonder. You know, we want that magical Christmas for our kids. We want to be with family. We want to not just worry about anything. We want to let the world go, but this Christmas, it doesn't seem like the world wants to be let go. And I think we're all just a bit weary. And so that word weary got me thinking. And this is where this clicked in my brain recently. Because as I was doing some meditating and praying and crying out to God for my own personal things, some of my own personal hurt, some of my own personal weariness, because we're all weary. A phrase from my favorite Christmas song, which happens to be O Holy Night. I love that song. I love the scope of it. I love the topic of it. I just love that song. There's nothing that gets me in the Christmas spirit more than that song. But there's a phrase in that song that I've never paid attention to before. And it's this. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I can actually remember a few years ago, we were trying to think of a Christmas series, because what's interesting from a pastor's perspective is we get to, you know, pray and read through the Bible all year long and try to pick out things that we feel are going to be relevant to you guys' life. But Christmas comes every year. And it's kind of like trying to repackage the same gift. And so each year, usually around October or so, we start to try to get together and think about, plan, strategize, pray about what we're going to talk about for Christmas. We even did it for this Christmas, but obviously a little bit of that has gone out the window. And so today's coming from my heart. Because a few years ago, we were going to talk about a thrill of hope, because in my mind, Christmas has always been about hope and good things and exciting things and babies and mangers and lights and presents. Oh my, all the fun. But this year, what really struck my soul was that Christmas is actually for the weary world. We're all a little weary. And I think it's important for us to take a step in acknowledging that today. I think it's important for us to take a moment to stop And think about that today and dwell on that today, because what I fear is that if weariness isn't evaluated and taken care of, it can lead to disaster. Like, we all know the most dangerous thing that we could do is drive while we're sleepy. Like, it is ridiculously dangerous to get behind the wheel of a car or operate heavy machinery or do something that requires all of our focus when we're weary, because when you're weary, you don't have all your focus. You don't have all your strength. You're not who you think you are oftentimes when you're weary. But what happens in our world, we have been so weary for so long, we have gotten used to the feeling. And we think maybe this is just how it's supposed to be. But it's not. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. And I think this year, instead of focusing on the lights and the happiness, and I'm not trying to be negative, I just want to be realistic this Christmas. And I want this message to be realistic for you and your soul and your heart, because I'm concerned about you. Because God has brought some concern to my spirit about me and about my family and my kin and my circle of influence. And I think He's speaking the same to you. We're weary. So as I've prayed and asked God to search my heart, He has shown me something that I think we've missed in the past. And there are a few types of weary that I want to focus on this morning. The first kind of weary is the weary in waiting. The weary in waiting. Is there anything more terrible than asking for something that you truly want for a long period of time and never getting it? I think all of us, we can think back to something when we were kids. Maybe it was something that we wanted Santa to bring or something that we asked our parents for. And oftentimes it was outlandish, but sometimes it was really something we wanted. I've heard so many stories, I never asked for this, but where kids would ask their parent for a pony. Mom and Dad, I want a pony, I want a pony, I want a pony. And there's a weariness that comes when asking and waiting and asking and waiting and asking and waiting. And I don't know what the pony is in your life, but I think if you were to stop for a second, a lot of our weariness is coming from waiting. And maybe that waiting is, we're waiting for this to be over. Or maybe we're waiting on wholeness to come to our bodies. Or we're waiting and praying that our finances finally get to a better space. Or you're praying and you're waiting for that wayward child, that teenager, that adult child that you have been praying for so long. And you know what? Over time, you just get tired. You get weary. Well, you're not alone. Because in the Christmas story, we actually see, and we're going to look at a few stories this morning, so y'all have to stick with me for a second. But one of the first stories we see in Luke 1 was this couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And let me tell you something, they were weary. They were tired. And the reason they were tired is because they had gotten older, and their greatest wish they had always wanted in the world, the thing they had prayed about, the thing they had dreamed about, was having a child. But they never did. And I could just imagine the lonely nights, whether they were together or even individually, how often they prayed, how often they hoped, how often they probably wondered, is this going to be the month? Is this going to be the time? Is this going to be the year? And slowly, as the years piled on, as their 20s, and then their 30s, and then even into their 40s and possibly beyond, they really just began to grow weary that, you know what? The greatest thing we've ever wanted, I just don't know if God's going to give us. And they were weary. But in the first chapter of Luke, as Luke is compiling his story about the events and the aftermath of Jesus' life, he talks to somebody. Possibly somebody that even knew Zechariah and Elizabeth. Maybe a family member, maybe a friend, maybe even them themselves. And he began to ask them, hey, tell me what it was like. He says, you don't understand. It was so hard. But we continued to be faithful. And one day, Zechariah, who was part of the religious leading class, he went into the temple, and each year they would choose somebody who would go into the Holy of Holies, as it was called. They would go into the presence room of God. And only one person could go in a year, and it was a really, really big deal. It was a highlight of a priest's life, to be honest. It was a really big deal. And so they would have to clean themselves ceremonially, and they would have to get themselves ready and prepped. And so Zechariah, he goes into the Holy of Holies expecting to not receive anything, but to give anything, because it was a moment of sacrifice on behalf of the people of Israel. But there in that moment, in that special place, something happened. An angel of the Lord appeared, and he spoke to Zechariah. And he told him, he said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard." And that's powerful, because some of you need to understand that today. You need to hear that. Your prayer has been heard. And in our weariness, we can begin to equate the answer to being heard. And there's nothing more exhausting to think that we're not being heard. Am I right, wives? How many times have you said, "You're just not listening to me," to your husbands or our parents? How many times have you said, "You're just not listening to me," to your kids? It just makes you weary when nobody's listening or it feels that way. But let me tell you something. Your prayers have been heard. Put it in the comments. I have been heard. God has heard you, just as he has heard Zechariah. It doesn't mean that God's going to answer in the way that you suppose. But don't you ever doubt for a second this Christmas season that God has heard you, because he has. The angel says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John." Verse 14, "There will be joy and delight for you, and many will rejoice at his birth." See, what the angel is saying is, "Zechariah, listen, I know that you and your wife are weary. But you have to understand that God has plans. And God has timelines. And just because we may be stuck in that painful middle place and you may be feeling weary, God sees that and he knows that. But at the proper time," put on there, "the proper time, at the proper time, God will bring to you what he has deemed and ordained for you to have in this season. So though you may be weary, let me first encourage you, if you're weary from waiting, don't you give up. Don't you give up when you're weary from waiting. I know it's a bad weariness, it's a heavy weariness, it's an exhausting weariness, but don't you give up from your weariness in your waiting, because God has something for you." There's a phrase that Christians love to say, and it's very powerful in this situation. The best is yet to come for you, for me, for our world. God is not done. The best is yet to come. And so I know we can be tired right now and feel like we're waiting. God, we're waiting for something. For you to move, for this to change, for my circumstances to change, to feel better, to be happy, for my kids, for my spouse, for my job, for my future, forgiveness for my past. God, I'm waiting and I'm weary. And God says, "Don't you give up on me. I know you're tired and I hear your prayer. Hold on. Hold on." There's a weariness from waiting. But see, that's not the only weariness that we can happen. Because see, there's another story that we find in the Christmas narrative. See, later after the birth of Jesus, and we're going to skip something for a second, but after the birth of Jesus, we find some shepherds sitting off in a field. And I think what's so funny about the Christmas season is how often we romanticize everything. You know, we've made everything so very pretty and clean and honestly a little sterilized. And that's just a natural byproduct of telling the same story over and over and over again. And we love for it to be beautiful in Christmas books and wonderful to tell our children. We want to have the clean story, right? We want to have the easy to understand story because that's what Christmas seems to be all about. It's about the lights and Christmas doesn't smell bad, right? Well, guess what? The first Christmas... well, probably smelled pretty bad because some of the first people we meet were actually shepherds. And I think there's this mistake in our minds to think that shepherds were elevated people because of people like, well, David, for example. David was a shepherd. But actually, shepherds were one of the lowest classes. Like, I need you to hear this. Nobody went to their mom and dad and say, "Mom and dad, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd." That's what you got stuck with. Let's not forget that David was the youngest son, the forgotten son, the one who almost got passed over if it wasn't for God speaking through Samuel in that story. David was forgotten in the field. He was left out there. And you know what kind of weary that is? That's weary from working. I think a lot of us are weary from working. We're weary from just having to do what we got to do to get by. You're weary from putting forth the effort over and over and over again. If you've lost your passion, you've lost your joy, you've lost that spark, you're just working at it, you're just grinding at it. And can I be honest with you? That's a lot of what life is, isn't it? It's just grinding at it to keep it going because you gotta. Like, Christmas sounds great, but at this very moment, if you were to stop and think, some of you are already past Christmas with those worries and concerns, whether it's personal, work-related, emotional, relational, you're already there. You're already weary about things that haven't even happened yet because we're weary from working. We're wearied from worry. We're weary. Well, let me tell you, these shepherds who are out in the fields that we so often romanticize, let's not forget they were surrounded by a bunch of stinky, stupid sheep. See, the thing about sheep that we don't really understand is that sheep are not very bright. Now, they're useful, but they're not very bright. And the reason that we have such imagery about shepherds and sheep is because a shepherd was so vital to the sheep's life. They had to literally lead them to food because sheep couldn't find it. They had to literally lead them to water because sheep can't find it. Sheep were not very intelligent that they would just break off from the herd, and so the shepherd, oftentimes at the risk of their own life for an animal, would have to go out and search for those lost sheep. These shepherds, they were weary. They were forgotten. They were left behind. Culture had left them behind. But even in our weariness, God sees us there. And God does not forget you. And God will never leave you behind. Because then what we see, and this is so powerful, and I hope you're catching the gravity of what really happened that night. Because out of nowhere, in the heavens, God's personal choir showed up to people who nobody else thought were worth it. But God did. Because I think in our weariness, we can believe the lie that we're not worth it either, and you are. You are worth it to God. And God demonstrated through this act how he valued the least of these in culture. How he valued the least of these emotionally. How he valued the least of these, even who thought little of themselves. Because what we see in this story in Luke 2, verse 10, it says, "But the angels said to them again, 'Do not be afraid.'" Why do we keep hearing that? Because if we saw angels, we would be panicked too. "Do not be afraid, for I proclaim to you good news of great joy." Do you know what the remedy to your weariness is? It's good news of great joy. See, news is something, it's about something that has already happened. See, oftentimes we're waiting on God to do something. It's like, no, you need to look at the news that I've already proclaimed. I am moving. I am active. I am working. And if you just stop in your weariness and if you look to me, I can pull you out of that because I have good news of great joy that will be for all people. See, Jesus didn't come for just a select few. He came for all people. That in the city of David today was born for you the Messiah. Born for you. Born for the shepherds. Born for the forgotten. Born for the weary. Born for us. So I know you may be weary from asking, maybe weary from working, but don't you doubt that God hears you because he does. Don't you doubt that God doesn't care about you because he does. And there's a third kind of weary, because we can't forget the power couple of Christmas, can we? Mary and Joseph. And if there's ever been a story that we often romanticize, it is certainly Mary and Joseph, isn't it? Is it not? I mean, the holy couple. I think most of us grew up even with images of the Christmas narrative, the Christmas scene around in the manger, everybody glowing. There was a halo over top Jesus' head because apparently that used to happen back then or something, right? We have such this sterilized image of what really happened, but let's go over the facts. In the town of Nazareth, what was Nazareth? A little nowhere town. How do we know this? Because 30 years later, when Jesus was introduced, the phrase people used was, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Like, come on. In the town of Nazareth, where apparently nobody thought anything good can come from, was a girl. A girl engaged to be married. And this girl was visited by an angel who also said, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And through you, God is going to do one of the most greatest miraculous things in the history of all mankind. Mary, this moment will quite literally split time in half. Because God has chosen you, favored among all women, to bear his son." How wonderful. What Christmas magic. It shouldn't, though, come as a surprise to us that the very first thing that Joseph, though, did upon finding out this news was decide that he wanted to divorce Mary. Well, why? Well, because in a culture that valued purity on high, we don't really have an understanding of this, to be honest, in our culture, because we've lost some of our value of purity, specifically sexual purity, and that's another topic for another day. But in this culture, that was one of the most highly valuable, prized things. And so for Mary to come to Joseph and say, "Listen, I promise, this isn't from me, this is from God," like, yeah, right, girl, we know how this works. And if it was not, get this, from another angelic visitation, Joseph would have left her. But God intervened. But I hope you begin to grasp and see that none of this was easy. And so then, as the pregnancy neared its conclusion, and I'm currently have a pregnant wife who's about 8 months pregnant. And let me tell you something. I have not experienced it, obviously, firsthand. But walking through now 3 pregnancies with my wife, it is no easy task. Some of y'all women need to say amen, because by the end of the pregnancy, what are you? You are weary. Your body is weary. Your mind is weary. And here's the ironic thing. The baby's not even here yet. You've already lost sleep, and the kid's not even here yet to ruin your sleep for the next 18 years. You haven't even begun to really worry. But even in the birth pains, there is weariness that comes alongside blessings. And as life would have it, because life is difficult, get this, even when you are carrying the Son of God, even when you are carrying a promise from God, even when you are chosen by God to do great things, life is difficult. Don't you ever doubt it. Because Mary, carrying literally the physical form of God on high, had to travel to Bethlehem due to a decree of the emperor for a census. And now we've just recently went through a census in our country. And it's a headache to count everybody. But you did not have to travel to the town of your birth. None of you had to go anywhere. None of you had to leave. And even if you did, you have cars with heaters and air conditioning and heated seats and with wheels and a motor, but not Mary and Joseph. And so I looked it up actually over the week as I was studying. The trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was approximately 90 miles. That's the same distance from about here to Folly Beach. Now that sounds like an easy trip. But if anybody, and I'm not saying this as an insult at all, but if anybody has ever traveled with a pregnant woman, no trip is easy. No trip is without pain or worry or concern or bathroom breaks. Can I get an amen from the ladies? No trip is easy. Even traveling to Columbia with my wife, by the end, she can't hardly wait to get out of the car because her back hurts or she's cramping because you're birthing something, you're carrying something, you're doing something that seems honestly impossible, but it's such a beautiful blessing from God. But Mary and Joseph had to travel that length. Probably took them 4 to 7 days, 90 miles, more than likely walking or riding a donkey or some pack animal. Don't you tell me that they were not weary. And see, this is maybe one of the most important wearies that I want to talk to you about real fast. It's the weariness in obedience. Because I have been here oftentimes on the cusp of knowing that God is using me, moving in me, speaking to me, but the journey is still hard. And I think a lot of us have given up in the middle of what God has called us to do because you thought it was going to be easier than you're finding it to be right now. And you're weary even though you're being obedient. And let me tell you something, you stay obedient. Don't you give up. Don't you stop moving. Don't you settle for some other place other than what God has for you. If God has called you there, you go there. And if you are weary, He will give you strength. If you are tired, He will give you what you need. See, the story of Christmas is that God is not watching us be weary. He is weary in it with us. Jesus was with us. The whole story of Christmas is that Jesus is our Emmanuel. God is with us. And so a tired, a weary, and exhausted Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem, that chosen city, only to find there was no room. And I want to press on this for a little bit more for a second because I think it isn't because of a lack of faith per se that a lot of you have given up on what you think God is wanting you to do. Or you've given up seeking God, or you've given up praying to God, or you've given up asking God. I think the reason is because you're weary. Is because like Mary and Joseph, you think you finally got to that place. You think you finally got to Bethlehem, only to find that there's no room for you. Only to find that it wasn't what you expected it to be. I truly believe that on the journey, because I'm a husband, and this is what husbands do, he was probably encouraging Mary. Mary, if we can just get there, don't you worry, trust me, when we get there, think of the hot bath. Baby, I'll rub your feet. I know you're tired. I know your back hurts. We're almost there. Hang on. Only to get there, and there's no room. Where are you, God? Why is this happening to me? I'm so tired. Don't you give up in that moment. Don't you give up. Because let's not forget who was about to come into the world. See, I don't know why God always does the things that He does. I really don't. And if I had that answer, well, honestly, I wouldn't need God. And you wouldn't either. But we don't. And so that's why it's so hard, but so important for us to trust, especially when you're weary. I don't know why Jesus needed to be born in a stable. I don't know why. I don't know why when the King of the universe came into this world, the only place for Him was an animal feeding trough that I hope had fresh hay in it. But if I had to take a guess, and this is just my guess, I think that there's a powerful image in the Christmas story. That just like the city of Bethlehem, also known as the city of David, also known as David the man after God's own heart, that when God came into the world didn't have room for him. That when it came time for Jesus to make his entrance, the world had no room. And I think that your weariness and my weariness and our world's weariness stems from the same problem. That we are still not making any room for Jesus. We're still not making any room in our lives. And I'm not trying to be Christmassy or special. I want to be practical. For example, when is the last time when you were really tired, instead of binging on a Netflix episode, you turned your television off, you put your phone down, and you went and prayed? When's the last time? When is the last time you sat in your car, turned the radio to some praise and worship, and you just wept before the Lord? When is the last time you genuinely have made room for Jesus in your life? Because I can give you a promise. If you don't make any room, you will continue to be weary. If you don't make any room, you will continue to be tired. And I know this because down the road, as Jesus grew into a man, he makes this statement. And so this is what I want to leave you on here. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, and he's saying this to you, and he's saying this to me, and he's saying this through all history, all generations, for the rest of time. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Type in the comments right now, "Jesus, you are my rest. Jesus, you are my rest." He says, "Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble. I who was born in a stable, because the world had no room. But my people will be different. Come to me, and you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So, are you weary? I think the obvious answer is yes. And maybe you're weary from waiting. You've been asking God for something and it hasn't come. Stay faithful. Stay where he has planted you. Stay where he has placed you. Don't you give up, because goodness is coming. The best is yet to come for your life and your situation. I truly believe that. Maybe you're weary from working and you're just tired of the grind and you want an escape, but it doesn't feel like there is any escape, and it just feels like basically you're just being ground into dust. God is there with you. He sees you. He has not forgotten you. And finally, maybe you're just weary from being obedient and you're doing the right things, but that doesn't mean that weariness doesn't come. But in all of those circumstances, don't make the mistake of not making room for Jesus in your heart and life. Because he's not just a piece of it. Jesus is the end goal to everything. Jesus is the reward. A relationship with him is the desire. It is the ultimate achievement. And that is the true destiny and purpose of your life. Don't grow weary. And if you are, look to Jesus. Make room. Make plenty of room. And so to conclude our service, I really want you to stay with me, because I want this to be, best it can, a moment in our hearts and lives. I want us to watch a video that's around 3 minutes long, that if it doesn't give you chill bumps, rewatch it. I think I tear up every time I see it. So right there, wherever you're watching, whether you're sitting at home, watching this now live, or whether you're watching this after the fact, or even listening on a podcast, if you're on a podcast, I'd love for you to go to our YouTube channel and check this out. But I want you guys to watch this video with me now.
It was that silent night when the stars turned their gaze to marvel at the earth. When the heavens gathered breathless round a lowly stable. When a young mother wept tears of worship, falling on the baby in her arms. And the song of the earth arose in Bethlehem. Soft as the tender beating of his heart. And all was calm. All was bright. Yet could this be the same God of Abraham, the conqueror of Israel? This baby, this fragile life. Is this child the one who burned his name in rapture across the gasping skies? Whose voice spoke the oceans into crashing rhythms? Who crafted the mountains into guardians of the firmament, whose hand ignited the thirst of the deserts and the warring surge of the elemental hosts, who breathed life from dust, broke the oppressor's rule, scattered the chains of his people like sand, and led them through the wilderness with the pillar of flame. Is this child the one whose presence billowed thunderous on Sinai's peak? Who surrounded Job with the roaring wind, stood defiant in the raging furnace, wrote judgment against tyrants, and blazed on the lips of the prophets, scorching history's pages with the fury of his might? Could this be the same God who chose to come as the vulnerable king, setting his throne on straw and manger, drawing forth the tears of shepherds, receiving the gifts of wandering travelers, his fame unknown in this world? He is Jesus, the one who thunders through the heavens, yet whispers to our hearts, who reigns victorious, yet bows to serve the broken. He is God in the fury, God in the silence. He holds this mystery balanced in his hands, holds our questions till they lose their need, until all we see is him.
I hope you caught that last line. Till we all see him. You know, I really do love the Christmas season, and I love all of the over-the-top things that come with it, the lights, the tree, the decorations. I love nothing more than going Christmas house hunting whenever you're looking for houses that have been decorated for Christmas. I love those things. But let us not forget that Christmas is not just about a baby being born. It's not even just about that baby Jesus came and was born. Christmas is about God coming into the world to rescue you and me. And so my prayer this Christmas is that when we sing our Christmas carols and we listen to our Christmas music and as we bake Christmas cookies and as we open Christmas presents and we're together with family, that just for a brief moment, weary or not, we take a pause to realize and remember who we're celebrating. that let's not forget that that humble babe is a manger is also the same God that spoke through fire, that cracks mountains and they melt like wax before him, who is awesome and in all authority and power and in heaven and on earth, and who died and was resurrected to life so that you and I can have hope everlasting. That is Christmas. That is our destiny. So I'd love for you to close out with us by singing, well, my favorite Christmas song, and I certainly think most of us love it too. But when we get to that line again, the thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. We don't rejoice just because of a baby. We rejoice because that baby grew to be a man, who died, who rose and ascended, and now sits on high and advocates for you and for me. That is the joy of Christmas. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your life. I thank you for those that we have written down in our scripture, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, like the shepherds, like Mary and Joseph, all who were tired and weary, but you saw them through. Thank you that they did not give up. Thank you that they remained faithful and they pursued you with all their heart. Help us in this season not to grow weary. Help us to keep loving. Help us to keep pursuing. Help us to continue to build uncommon unity with ourselves, with you, and with each other. God, we know that you came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through your sacrifice. And now that you have rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, we stand in authority and power over the principalities of this world, and we declare that weariness, exhaustion, tired has no place in our lives or home this Christmas season or ever in the name of Jesus. Help us to look to you in those moments of weariness. Help us to look to you. Help us to cry out to you in those moments where it seems the darkest, because we know that you are the light of the world. In your precious, holy, matchless name we pray. Amen.